Hi, welcome to How Did You Learn to Do That, where you will hear tips, guidance, and stories to help you to have a fulfilling life and career. The inspirational stories that you will hear from people will inspire you to know that you can create anything you want in your life, and it just takes commitment and action. So I'm excited to have you here. I'm excited for you to hear these stories, these guidance, and the tips that I'll be sharing. And if you have any questions, you can always reach out to me, info@howdidyoulearntodothat.com. And you can connect with us on social media. We're on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. At How Did You Learn to Do That? And we would love if you could help us grow and expand this podcast by reviewing us on Apple Podcasts as well as on YouTube and sharing the episodes with your family and your friends and helping us continue to spread the message that we all are deserving of a fulfilling life and we can be the catalysts in our lives to create that. All right, stay tuned for the next episode. Hi, everyone. I'm so excited to welcome Harsh from Share Our Hair Love or Soul to the How Did You Learn to Do That podcast. I'll tell you a little bit about Harsh. So in 2009, Harsh went to Blanche McDonald Center and completed the hair diploma program. This was when she started doing hair professionally. However, her love for hairstyling started at a very young age. From being an eight-year-old and forcing her sister to visit her imaginary hair salon to getting in trouble in math class because it was not a hair salon. So why does she love hairstyling so much? Well, it's a combination of the process of shaping and sculpting hair and the satisfaction of seeing the finished product. But most importantly, it's seeing the smile on her clients' faces when they feel their best. She invested in education and traveled to take styling and haircutting classes with some of the top hairstylists of all time. She worked at a high-end downtown salon where we proudly provided luxury hairstyling services, and she started teaching classes at the salon she was working at to gain experience. And in 2017, she started teaching at John Casablancas Institute in Vancouver for the hairstyling program. From there, she started working for the leading color brand in the world, L'Oreal Professionnel, and provided education to salons across BC. She has never stopped learning and will continue to teach and to share her knowledge. So how did she decide to start this company? This is where it gets super personal. So as you can tell, hairstyling was never just a job for Harsh, and it's actually her passion. It's a part of who she is. In 2015, she was in a car accident, which caused her to have chronic pain. And now for anyone who lives with chronic pain, you know it can be quite debilitating. She was unable to work behind the chair, although she kept trying for almost 2 years with little improvement. This is when she decided to focus on teaching and sharing her passion. This brought her a lot of joy, except she felt like there was a big part of her missing, the part that makes people feel beautiful. She's craving doing hair for clients. So in 2018, she came up with her idea for a mobile blow dry bar. But at this time, she was not in the physical or mental state to launch a business. She was still struggling with letting go of working in a salon. She is a firm believer that everything happens for a reason and when it's meant to happen, and that was not the right time. This past year, she kept obsessing over the idea of Soul, Share Our Hair Love, and she knew it was the right time to share it with you. So I'm so excited to have Harsh join me on the podcast today.
Thank you so much, Ageza. It was a lot of information about myself to listen to.
Yeah, I have a lot of people that are there when they have the bio read back to them, they get a little bit like, oh, it's so weird to have it read back to me. But it's, you know, we should be our own champions. We should be tuning our own horns because we do amazing things and what you've done is incredible. So I'm so excited to learn more.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of like in a nutshell, right? So started off when I was really young. Like, I can't even remember when I was like, I love doing hair. Like, it's just been a part of me my whole entire life. Like I said, I would do my sister's hair and all this stuff. And I didn't know what I was doing. It was usually like 10 ponytails on her head. But I would do her hair growing up and friends and things like that. I was always kind of just like, well, now I can say this out loud because I'm, you know, like graduate a long time ago, but I was always skipping class to go get my hair done, you know, all of that kind of stuff. But yeah, I've always loved it. And then 2009, like you said, I went to Blanche McDonald and I learned how to do hair. And for me, actually, because I grew up in a really small town, so I always had a passion for hairstyling, but it was never really something where I saw it being a career because, you know, I was getting $20 haircuts, $18 haircuts, and I was never completely happy with them, but I didn't know what a good haircut could be. And I didn't know the potential of growth in this, in the beauty industry, right? So I was in a town that was like 4,500 people. And then I moved out to, I saw your eyes, you're like, whoa. Yeah, very small. And then I moved to Surrey and, you know, just being, going to salons downtown Vancouver and meeting with so many people, and you just see the demand for hairstyling and you see the potential and growth. And I think that was a year into moving down here. I was like, hey, I need to do this. Like I have an opportunity here. And then I went to Blanche McDonald and learned how to do it professionally. And from there, I actually started, I took about a year where I was working at a blow dry bar. Then I started working at a hair salon and an apprentice. So there's so much education that goes into hair. It's always changing, right? So a lot of time into education, training myself, and then things like that. And yeah, and then I got into education as well, which was really fun because being able to inspire others on what you love is amazing. And Seoul, as you mentioned, was something that I had thought about in 2018. So like you said, I'm not really able to do hair behind the chair. It's really difficult with my pain. So then from there, I missed doing hair. I was teaching, but it's not the same as doing clients and seeing that, like, it's almost like that instant gratification. You just see they're so happy. And then you're like, yes, I did what I came here to do, you know? And I really missed that. So that was one point. So I really missed that. And also another thing was I was actually at the time working at a property management firm full time. And I was commuting 3 hours a day. Wow. I was taking two classes at BCIT. It was jam packed. It was only 2 months. I couldn't do it. It was a lot. But in that time, I was just, you know, my hair was my thing. I was like, my hair has to look good, but I just didn't feel like I had the time to do it. And I was like, I wish somebody could just come over and style my hair for me. And that's when I was like, oh my God, I need to do a mobile blow dry business at some point.
Yeah, that's incredible. I would love that. Somebody could come do my hair. I actually used to have long hair until recently. I just chopped it off because I was like, you know what? If it's messy and it's wavy, it's like that look that's in right now. So it's not as bad.
Yeah, texture's in.
Yeah, it's not as bad when it's long and it's like messy up here. And then it's just like all over. It just goes like Weird Al at the bottom. But so I cut it. But yeah, that's so exciting. And what you're saying about, and when I was reading your bio, I was so inspired, is that you had this life-changing, you know, event happen. And instead of just kind of giving up and just saying that I don't want to do that, you really spent some time asking yourself those introspective questions about, you know, what is it that I want to do? And in really understanding your why and like deep down, like, what are you here to do? And what is your purpose? And you were very clear mm-hmm. that, you know, making people feel beautiful, doing hair, and like, yeah. is the purpose that you have in your life. And you just, you know, took some time to take care of yourself, but you found a way to continue to live that purpose and found a way to make that happen. Especially with your business, Share Our Hair Love, I think it's incredible because it really allows you to do it on your own terms, and to align and not move away from who you are and really continue to align what you're doing with who you are. So how did you, I know you said you had the idea in 2018, but it wasn't the right time. And then this year or last year, you decided that now was the time. So how did that actually happen? Can you tell us a bit about that? And then how did you start once you realized that now was the time you want to do this?
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, a few things that kind of like came to my mind as you were talking. And this is something that I really wanted to mention because like you said, you know, I have this like life altering thing where it was like, I can't do what I was what I was trying to do in the way that I was trying to do it. And I think that that was a really big learning curve for me. And that wasn't something that came easy. It was, you know, now it's been 6 years, but it took me, like you read in my bio, but for a few years, I tried to continue to work behind the chair, very, very limited capacity. And I just kept trying. I was like, you know, if I do treatments, if I don't go in for too many hours a day, if I, whatever I could do, I tried to modify to make it work. And I think you have to sometimes just come to the realization that maybe this isn't something that I can do right now. You know, like I think it was almost 3 years, but trying to do something and it's not working, like it probably isn't going to work at that time. So I think like that was like a big kind of transition period for me to even like figure out that like, okay, I can't do this the way that I wanted to. But after that, I still held on to, like mentally, I was still holding on to, well, I want to be a hairdresser behind the chair, because my passion really was hairstyling as well as cutting. I got a lot into color and stuff too, but my main passion was cutting and styling. So I just couldn't like let it go. It was really hard for me to let that go. So so I think like where I found a lot of growth and what I would really like want to share with everyone else as well is to really stay open, because for me, I'm very just straight. Like I never really kind of like look to the side to be like, oh, maybe this is an opportunity. I'm just like, okay, this is what I want and this is how I get there, right? Like I'm just like very like just like look straight. But what I've realized over these years is that you can have a goal. You can, like, for example, for me, like I love making people feel good about themselves. I love seeing that, like when they see their hair and they're like, wow, this looks so great and I look so beautiful. Like I want them to feel that. But the way I wanted to get there wasn't working for me. So you really have to stay open, have that purpose, right? Have that purpose. This is what makes me happy. This is the service that I want to provide. But don't be so tied down to this is how I'm going to get there, because that might not be the way that you're going to get there for many reasons, right? Like and maybe that's just not what's meant to happen for you at that time. And I still, you know, there could be a day where like I'm feeling better, I can get back into the salon and that's amazing too, but you just don't know. So you kind of have to stay open and be able to kind of navigate that, and don't just focus on, well, if this isn't working, I'm so sad about it, right? Like you need to like have it help you grow and make you stronger. And I feel like I kept rambling there. What was your question?
No, I don't think you're rambling. I think that was, you know, the key of what I was trying to ask is it's how you align, you know, with who you are and what you do. And I think you explained that beautifully. And what I was asking was that when did you realize that moment that you said, okay, now is the time that I need to do this. What actually happened there? Like, how did that come to you? That, and were you self-reflecting? Were you journaling? Like, were you like asking yourself questions that were deeply connected to you? And then what were the steps that you took to actually make it happen? Like those first few steps to actually take that motivation and that idea and then bring it to fruition?
Yeah, for sure. So the funny thing is that the moment when I was like, I'm going to make this happen, and this was, I think February last year, so before the pandemic, I was sleeping and I woke up and I was just like in the middle of the night. And I was like, I want to do this. Like, I want to do this now and I don't want to wait. And so it was just like, it was a weird moment where I was just like, because I think, like I said before, like I get very in my head where I'm just like, this is what I want. This is how I get there. But what I think I realized, like, so 2018, I had the idea. 2020, I was kind of like, this is what I want to do. I think in those 2 years, I grew a lot. Also from my job with L'Oreal, like I think I just personally grew a lot and I learned a lot. So I realized that being a perfectionist, I was just like, I have to have all my ducks in a row. Like everything has to be perfect for me. Yeah. So I think like for me, I would just be very like, everything has to be perfect. And I had this idea of what I wanted the business to be. And what I learned in those 2 years, because working for L'Oreal, I'm working with a lot of other businesses too. And I learned that not everything has to be perfect, right? Like we hear this so much online now, is that like start before you're ready, and not necessarily start before you know how to do what you're wanting to provide, like know how to do what you want to provide, but it doesn't have to be everything's lined up, because you're going to learn as you go. So I think I just came to this moment where I was just like, I realized that. I was just like, you know what, this is what I want to do. I realized like the idea of soul a couple of years ago. But in those years, I learned that not everything has to be perfect. You can start small, right? Like I was like, I have this vision of like what I was like, okay, this is what it's going to look like, but it's not going to look like that. No matter what I did, it's not just going to look like that automatically. It takes time. So I think that understanding of taking it slow and just a little bit at a time. And then when I did choose to be like, hey, I'm going to launch this, I'm going to do this. It was, like I said, it was February 2020. And then March 2020 was the shutdown, right? Mm-hmm. So in that time, like beginning of March, I was starting to connect with people because I was like, okay, what do I need, right? Like I need social media. So I'm going to have to get some, a photo shoot done, and I want a website. So I want to like, just kind of broke it down to what are the simple things that I really need. And then branding was really important to me. So I was like, I want branding. So these were the people I started to reach out to, but then the lockdown happened, and we didn't know how long that was going to be. Mm-hmm. And we didn't know how long it's going to last. And I mean, here we are, like, you know, so we're like, oh yeah, April 1st, everything will be back open, but you know,
more shutdowns.
So, yeah. So in the beginning of March, I did connect with the Coast Kit. They are absolutely amazing. And they did my branding for me. And then I connected with a photographer, Alyssa, and we were going to book a shoot for April, but everything was up in the air. So we pushed it until the summer. And so I kind of had that time. I was still working through the shutdown, but not for Soul, but so I was working, but I was still like kind of working on the behind the scenes of like, this is what I want my website to look like. And this is what I want my Instagram to look like. This is how I want to promote it. All of these types of things. So I was still working behind the scenes. And then I actually then was going to launch in, or wanted to kind of put it out to the world like September. But then I had another kind of setback with my injury. So I was going through treatments. So from July to December, I was getting treatments every month. So that was really, really tough. And I actually didn't even know I was going to be getting treatments every month. I thought I was just going to get one in July and I'd be good to go. But it ended up being every month, which really put me out. Like I would be like on bed rest for like a week or 2 weeks or whatever. So then again, that was like, okay, well, I can't do this right now. But in November, I think the beginning of November. Yeah. So I had a week off work in October, and I just reset. I felt really good. And I was like, you know what, I'm going to start my Instagram page and just see how it goes. I had all of my content and everything. So then I just started my Instagram page. And honestly, once you put yourself out there, because there was also part of me that was, I think, holding back and using COVID as an excuse. Mm-hmm. I think I was just like, well, I can't do it right now anyways. It's kind of just like you get into your head. And it was an easy excuse, right? And so once I put it out there, and then just the feedback that I got from so many women that I didn't even know, I've made so many connect, like Angeza, I've connected with you, right? Like you meet so many amazing people through social media, and it just was super empowering. You know, the people were like, I love this idea and I love what you're doing and this would be amazing and all of these things. And I was just like, wow. Like, and then it kind of like reassured me that, okay, I am doing the right thing and I should be putting this out there. And then I was still a little nervous of like when to start taking clients because of COVID. But that's kind of how, so it was a little up and down getting it up, but I'm so happy that I did.
Yeah. I think that's incredible. Like I love the journey you're speaking about because that is the entrepreneurial journey. And similar to you actually with my podcast, like I knew I had wanted this podcast, and actually, so I had a friend actually that had her best friend actually is a very successful YouTube star. Her and her husband, they're like super successful. You know, her husband has like over 1 million subscribers on YouTube, and like she has like 300,000. Like they're very, very successful. And so her husband made a course on basically like how to get set up as an affiliate marketer. And so I took the course, and the link to I do affiliate for the course now, so it's on my bio, but it walked me through like every step of the business, like how to set up your own website. So like I set up my own website, like I'm not a tech person at all. And it's like all these steps. So anyways, I did the course, And then I kind of got to, just kind of because, you know, you get a bit of homework. So I slowly did it. And the course at the time that I did it was a little bit outdated, but he's updated it now. So when I did it, it was like, you know, I just kind of put it out there just to put it out there. But I remember like there was tons of times when we, you know, are like, oh, I should pay for this website, or, you know, maybe I should help somebody, hire someone to do this for me or that. But then you kind of get limited by the cost, or you get limited by like the thought of it, or you get limited because you're like, once I do this, I have to commit because I've invested my money and my time and energy into it. So that's how I used to feel. But with this one, I was like, no, I'm not going to go the cost. I'm just going to keep going. And so I just kept going and I kept doing it. And before I knew it, I had like a website and I had Instagram and I had all these things, and things were kind of moving along. But I remember when I first started, I had no idea what branding was. Like, you know, the fact that you knew it, I think is incredible. Cause I was like, I don't know what branding is. Like, people say things have to look the same. And I was like, I'll be a rebel. I don't want things to look the same. I want everything to look different. And then slowly I realized like, oh no, like you need a brand, like you need a recognizable brand that people can acknowledge. And I've gone through like the changes myself. Like, you know, I've changed the colors of my brand like 3 times so far. And the one I have now, I actually really like. So, you know, it's just what you're saying about just like using any excuse that you can find just to stop yourself because of that fear and not jumping over that, making that leap into what's next for you, I think is, you know, incredible. And like you said, like once you just get out there, things, the ball just starts rolling and you just start doing these things and you start meeting people and connecting people that you didn't even know was possible. And that's exactly how I feel. Like when I first started and I said I wanted guests on my podcast pre-COVID, I was like, how am I going to create like a little corner in my house that I can have guests come over, and how is this going to work logistically? And then, you know, COVID happened and everything moved to Zoom, which, you know, I'm grateful for in the sense that I've been able to meet so many more people from all around the world. And, when I was first starting, I was like, who's going to want to come on my podcast? I remember Jackie, who actually was my very first guest from Aloha Kai. I sent her like this, like 4-page essay of why I wanted her as my guest, you know? And I remember she was so kind and she has like 14,000 followers. So I was like, oh my God, this is my big break, you know? And at that time I was like, followers mean something, but like I've now learned followers don't mean anything in the world of social media. But yeah, so I connected with her and I remember at that time I was like, who's gonna come on my podcast? Who's gonna even want to share their story? But like you said, like once you just put yourself out there and connecting, people just start showing up, right? And like I met you, like you said, and you shared that you wanted to be on the podcast, which I was like, whoa, incredible. Like, and it's just like things just start rolling, and there's like this community online that we just don't know about, and we just haven't tapped into, of people that just want to support each other and empower each other.
Just to like add to that, it's like you said, like just like once you get started, it just continues and you meet people, it's just natural. Like it's so easy on social media, and the amount of people that are so willing to help, it's incredible. You know, like I remember even like my first month on social media with Soul, and I remember somebody reached out and was like, you know, like, and we're just talking on DMs. And then I was like, yeah, like she has a blog. And I was like, oh, I want to start a blog, but I don't know anything about it. And she's like, if you want, like, I'll get on a call with you. And it's just so amazing how much, like, there's a huge movement right now, right? With like female entrepreneurs, females wanting to empower females. And it's just so incredible because we can really lift each other up and support one another. And yeah, it just makes you feel good, and help, and being able to offer that to others, is it makes you feel so amazing.
Yeah, I completely agree. Yeah, there's huge movement, and it's nice. It's nice just to feel the empowerment. It's nice to feel the support, and just to like look online. And I don't know if it's like the universe or what, but like sometimes if I'm having a challenge, and I jump on Instagram or something, like somebody's created a reel or somebody's created something to help me with my issue. And like, I just love it because it's just, you learn so much, right? And so, yeah. And so now that you've actually started Souls, how do you actually align yourself with with what it is that you want to do, and keeping yourself, especially in this digital space, because there's just so much out there and there's so much you can do and we could be doing. How do you align to really focus on like what you're here to do and not get kind of lost in all the things everybody's doing, and in being very focused on what it is that you're here to do?
I am not going to lie, I've definitely gotten lost in all the things. But, you know, I think for me, like, and like I said before, I was kind of using COVID as an excuse to not launch, but I was also, the way I procrastinate is by wanting to learn more. I keep telling myself I need to learn more in order to be able to do this. I need to watch more videos on making a website. And like you said, you made your own website. Like, I made my own website. I use a template from the Coast Kit as well. And it was amazing. And they have a step-by-step how to do it. But even that, to be honest, like I went through like a 7-year period, I think from like 2012 to like 2018 or something like that, where like I didn't even have a laptop. Like, and so going from that to like making my own website, I'm like, what, you know? So, but like, even with that, like there's so many things I would just be like, I need to learn more. And social media, I was like, well, I need to learn more. Just like go online and do all these freebies and do sign up for this and that. But eventually I was like, you know what, like this is, I'm just making a lot of noise for myself. Like I'm just making myself do all of these things. I'm feeling overwhelmed because I feel like I'm doing so much, but I'm not moving the needle. So it's good to learn, of course, but apply it, right? So for me, I think like I really want to, and this is maybe where like the perfectionism comes in a little bit as well, is I really want to focus on Instagram right now. Like Facebook definitely might come, or you know, whatever might come. But right now, like if I'm just getting used to using Instagram as a business account, I need to learn how to do that and make that easy for myself. Once that feels easy for me, then I can add something onto it. So just not getting super distracted like that. And then also for me, like I've definitely had times when like I literally just launched, but like I had it on Instagram since November, but even from that, like I wasn't taking clients, and I just like this month was like, okay, I'll start taking clients. Who knows now with COVID right now, but I would compare myself and I'd be like, well, what about them? Like they seem to be doing so good. And like this person like grew so fast, and, but you don't really know, right? Like I don't actually know what their business is like. And I think just having like a really good support system, right? Like just to kind of just be like, you know what, like I have like my sisters, my boyfriend, my best friend, like everybody is so supportive and they're like, you're doing so good. And then, so it just like reminding yourself of like the accomplishments, like for us both, like reminding ourselves, we made our website, you know, like we didn't even know how to do that. Or like I've met all of these people, all of these great things, and just reminding yourself of the positives, because I think it's really easy for us to get caught up with like, this is what I want to do. And like, why hasn't that happened yet? But really take the time to reflect and celebrate the little wins.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Yes, we need to celebrate ourselves, because it's like, who's going to do it for us if we're not going to do it for ourselves, right? And you're so right about the comparison game, because we don't know what's going on for other people, right? Like my sister wanted to set up like a finance sort of set up for like entrepreneurs. Like she's an accountant, so she's like, I would love to help entrepreneurs or like small businesses, help them to make forecasts for their business, you know, if they want to make so much, how can they get there, how can they scale to that amount or whatever. And so we were looking through some accounts, and I was trying to get some ideas for her, and I came across one that was like fairly new, like they just kind of started in like November, December, but like they had like 7,000 followers. And I was like, whoa, like check out this person. Like they just started 3 months ago and like they're huge. And my sister actually knows that person and said, you know what? Like I actually know her. And like, that's not all from this business. Like she just is doing this business since November. But before that, she was doing other stuff, and she had so many other followers from that. And so to me, it just was a moment where I was like, you're right. Like, I don't know the full story. Like, I don't know, like maybe she got 1,000 new followers since she started her business. But like, when I just look, it says 7,000, like, I don't know. And the numbers of followers, like, it just doesn't matter. Like when it comes to the business, because somebody gave me advice at the beginning, which was key to me. It was like, if you have 100 followers, but you have 10 loyal followers that will always kind of like buy what you sell or will always support you in whatever it is you do, that's all you need, right? And I was like, that's right. Like, you can have like 20,000 followers, but have 10 loyal ones. So it doesn't matter. You have 20,000 if you still only have 10 loyal followers. And it's essential. And also what you're saying about getting lost in the noise about trying to do everything. Like, I feel the same. Like last year I remember I was trying to do so much on my own and I got so overwhelmed. So then I hired someone to do my social media, like my Instagram stories. Like that's all they were doing, just the stories. It was a ton of money. But the thing was that I learned a lot for the way that they were doing it. And I was like, oh, wow. Like, I didn't even know that. Like, I didn't know people used Canva for stories. Like you go on Canva and like there's templates, you just change the coloring to your coloring. And you just download these blank pictures that you just load up in your story. Like, I didn't know that. And I kept going like, I know. And I'm like, why am I in create mode and hot pink? Like, I wish there was a nicer color. You know what I mean? Like, there's just so much to learn out there. But that's why, like, sometimes I feel like outsourcing or like investing in some sort of course that's just going to tell you, because if you try to DIY some of that and stuff, it's just overwhelming because there's so many strategies. There's so many ways to do things. So I love that you say that you're just starting to take clients now, but you've like started to build this momentum in your business. And so how do you think that this is going to help you actually fulfill your desire and your wish of making clients beautiful again? Like, how is that going to fill that, you were saying that gap that you can't work in a salon anymore. How is that going to fill that for you?
I think for me, it kind of goes like hand in hand with, so first you have like your service where people are, you know, like you do their hair, and I do believe once your hair is done, you feel really good. Like for me, I've always felt like that. And so, you know, you're going to feel good because your hair is done. And then also on the other hand, saving people time, right? Like that was like another issue that I was telling you that I had when I was working and I was taking classes, I was commuting. I just didn't have the time. So making people feel like they look beautiful and then also saving them that time so they don't have to necessarily either do their own hair, drive somewhere to get it done. They don't have to leave their kids at home. They can get it all done in the comfort of their own home. And also, you know, like there are times when because you don't have time to do your hair, you'll rush out and you might not feel your best. For me, at least that's happened. You know, I'll rush out and be like, oh, my hair's not done. It'll be okay. But I get there and I'm just like touching my hair. I'm just like, oh, you know, like not feeling good about it. So I feel like it does boost your confidence. So being able to save time, make them look good while they're living a busy life, make them feel like they're being taken care of when they're the ones taking care of their families and all of this type of stuff. And then having their hair look beautiful. I think like all of that to me is like, oh, that's totally my purpose. Like that just makes me so happy.
Yeah. I think that's so true. What you were just saying about feeling beautiful. Yeah. I think that like doing your hair, it's just like, it's a different game. Like today I straightened my hair and it's like a rarity for me to do that because, I usually don't get the time to do it or to like curl my hair or, one of my friends, she got the Dyson curler and I was like, what are you doing spending that much money? Like where are you going? You're home. Like you work at home. Like, what are you doing? You know? But she was like, no, it just makes me feel so good. Like, and I mean, it did like hair looked amazing, but I was just like, that's it. Like, especially now in this time where we are working from home, we are kind of like not going out as much, not doing stuff as much. And I realized that like a couple of weeks ago, I had like our first like girls' night and I hadn't seen them in like months, like since summer. And I remember I had more desire to dress up and go out. And I also live in Surrey. So I was like, I had more desire to dress up and go out, but like, you know, being from like BC or the Lower Mainland, it's just like, you rarely want to get dressed up to go out, right? Like you, most of the time you're in your Lululemons, like, you know, you're just kind of relaxed and chill. But, yeah, I feel like there's a desire to do that, you know, I'm just thinking about all the different, all the times that like, you're right. Like when you want to just go out and you just want to get a nice blow dryer, you just want to get your hair styled just to help boost yourself and like boost your confidence and just treat yourself a bit. Right. And I think what you're sharing is amazing because it's true. Like we do want to just continue to we just want to continue to make ourselves feel empowered in everything we do. And sometimes, you know, having our hair done does make us feel a lot better. And when you say like you, when you leave the house not feeling good, I feel like that all the time. Cause my hair is like, I have like, my hair gets very oily and flat really fast. And so as soon as it does, it totally changes my mood, like changes the way I dress, changes the way I want to act, changes like my mood and my motivation to get things done. I just feel more tired. Like, it's like, I can't, totally. You can't put your finger on it, but it does something.
You can't stop thinking about it. Like, you can't, right? Your hair is greasy. You're just like, all I want to do is get home and wash my hair.
Yeah, I think that that's so true. And so, I'm just trying to think about how, like, when we talk about pivot, you know, like in COVID, people have pivoted and stuff. I feel like you've pivoted so many times in this, you know, last 5 years since your car accident. And just understanding like who you are and introspecting. So what do you do on those days where you just feel, you know, like you really want to get back into the salon, or you want to get back to your old life, or, you know, you just feel frustrated that you can't do what you used to do. Or, you know, if you are having a flare up in your pain, you know, why you feel that way. What do you do to kind of like realign and to get back into a mindset where, you know, and you're comfortable knowing that like, this is the way I'm going in life. And this is where I'm dedicating my energy to now. And that what I wanted before is just, it is what it is before. And I've come to terms with that. Like, how do you quiet those little gremlins in our brain sometime that tell us, like, you know, try to get us off course a bit.
Yeah. And I think like, yeah, I mean, that's such a great question, because I feel like so many of us have to deal with this in one way or another, right? Like, there's, all of us are dealing with something. And for me, like, it took me a really long time, like years. And I can't say that I'm there where I'm just, I just know how to deal with it at all. But I like, for me, this journey of even launching Soul, and you hear it all the time, like entrepreneurship, it's a lot of personal development. So I feel like this past year, I've also done a lot of personal development, and that, you know, like, and even before I was, you know, I did love doing meditation, but meditation isn't easy, right? Like, you can sit there some days, it's, you know, you feel great and you're just like, yeah, I'm totally like Zen mode. And then there's days where your mind just won't stop. So it's a practice for sure. But journaling, like I try to do some journaling usually at night, meditation in the morning. I think like a morning routine really helps. And I definitely don't do it every single morning. I try to do my stretches every single morning, because that's going to help with relaxing my body a little bit and mind. And then I try to do a little bit of meditation in the morning too. And I'll usually just YouTube something, because I've tried doing it where I just like try to get myself to just like be totally like, you know, just focusing on my breath, but I don't necessarily, you know, I start thinking. So then having like a guided meditation helps. But I think also just being gentle with yourself, like that's the number one thing that has taken me such a long time to understand. And definitely like comes from like therapy, you know, like they talk about like, be gentle with yourself, because a lot of times we have this negative self-talk, and the way we talk to ourselves is just like, you wouldn't say that to your best friend, you know? Like, if I'm like not feeling good, I'm just like, oh, like not happy with the fact that like, oh, I'm in pain, I can't do this. But if that was your friend, you'd be like, you need to rest, like just take some time, you know? So just be gentle with yourself and understand that like, this is your journey. You can't, and that's kind of like another thing where like personal as well as professionally with Soul, it's, I used to be very like, I want to get to the end. Like if I'm reading a book, I just want it to be finished. If I'm doing something, I just want it to be finished. Like I just always want to get to the end. But with life and with your business, with all these things, there's no just get to the end. It's all a journey, right? So just understanding that and being gentle with yourself. And when you are, and it's funny enough that you mentioned flare-ups, because I'm going through one right now and I have been for a few weeks, but take the time to rest. Like for me, like I have to tell myself, and that's where, again, I have a really good support group where they're just like, you know what, rest. Like you've done so much today, like just take that time to rest. And there have been days where it's just all day I'm resting. Like I binge watched Netflix or whatever. And then, you know, and like now I've come to the point where I'm just like, I'm not doing, because before I'd feel lazy, before I'd be like, well, I'm being so lazy, I'm not getting anything done. But now it's like, you know, I'm not being lazy. Like this is, I need to do this in order to feel, to be able to be productive. You know, so yeah. Be gentle. Oh.
Yeah. I really appreciate you sharing that, because there's an affirmation that I was given, that I have like on my monitor right here. And I look at every day, and it says, taking care of myself is moving myself ahead. And that really resonates with me. And I actually wrote it on my mirror in my washroom, because some days I don't want to eat healthy. I don't want to exercise. I don't want to meditate. I don't want to journal. Like, I don't want to do anything. Like, I just want to do whatever. And I realize that sometimes taking care of myself is moving myself ahead. And what you say about like binging on Netflix, like I used to pride myself. Like I used to like glow about it, about how like, I don't watch TV. I don't have any shows. Like I spend my time reading my books or like whatever. Right. And it's just because that's society, like that's something society or something that we've heard in our mindset from other people. You know, either said to us or said about other people or whatever. Like we probably always hear somebody saying like, oh, like all she does is sit down and watch TV all day, or all he does is watch TV all day or whatever. And we absorb that, and we think that like, okay, in order to be successful, I need to be constantly busy. I need to be like moving the needle all the time. I need to be everywhere all the time. And I can't be doing these certain things. And like you said, like, just, it's okay to sit down and watch Netflix and just relax. Like, that's okay. You don't have to be working all the time. And similar, like with me, I used to be like, and I always say, there's like, if I want to be a workaholic, I could be a workaholic. Like I just like could continue daily. And what I do now is, now that I work from home, is I work in the spare room. I turn it into an office, and I leave my phone, everything up here when I clock out, like at 3, and I'm usually done my work day at 3. And then I go downstairs, I see my daughter, and like, we just hang out, and I just leave everything upstairs, because otherwise I would continue. And something I used to do actually is when she would go to bed, I would start working again at 8 o'clock. Like I'd edit a podcast. I would record a podcast, whatever. And I realized that like, it was just depleting my energy, but it was also taking my time away from myself. Like I had no time for myself, but I also had no time to spend with my husband or my friends or my family. And so what I decided to do is that like, when I'm done for the day. And I just take like bite-sized goals for the week. And I just say, I'm not going to pack in so much stuff in 1 week. I'm just going to do one or two things. And if I get to it, great. If I don't, it's whatever, it's fine. And Lisa and Misha, who was also on the podcast and is a success coach, who I connected with on Instagram as well. And you may know too.
She's amazing.
Right. And I had a podcast episode with her, and that week my laptop crashed. So I couldn't get that episode out that Monday that I promised I would. So I sent her a note and I said, hey, I'm so sorry. Like, I'm going to get this out like next week. And I really apologize. And her response to me was, and just like, you don't need to apologize. It's your podcast. It's your business. You're the boss. You decide when things are happening and not. And I just remember, and that just stuck with me, because now I feel like, yeah, like if you need to relax a little bit, or if I wanted to like take a week off to not do any work, then like, why not? Like, this is why we became entrepreneurs, to give ourselves this kind of freedom and flexibility, right?
Yeah, totally. And you know, even just hearing you talk about like putting your phone aside, first of all, props, because that's amazing. But you know, put your phone aside and spend that time with your daughter or with your husband. And you know, that's funny, because and journaling is great, because so many things come up. When I was journaling, I was thinking about like, hey, what does success look like for me, right? Like, success looks different for everybody. And anytime I think about it, it's always, success to me looks like spending more time with the people that I love, spending more time with my family, spending more time with my boyfriend and my best friend. And then I was like, I have that right now. I don't have to get to any goal. I don't have to get to anywhere in order to have that. But I keep making myself so busy being like, I want to feel successful. But then I'm like, but what my success looks like, I already have. So why am I making myself so busy? And why am I making myself always feel like I need to be doing something? And so, you know, like, it's really, really think about, what does success look like for you? And then if you already have that, like, I'm not saying don't do anything, but like, take the time to appreciate it and take the time to like spend that time with those people or whatever it is, right? And then also how you mentioned like just bite-sized pieces, right? Instead of like a big, like, I need to do this project today. I actually, from the Boss Babes. They had a course on goal setting. And so I did that at the end of last year. So in December, and amazing. It was so good. So basically breaking down, so doing my goals for the full year and then breaking them down into the quarterly goals, and then breaking that down into monthly goals. And so sometimes even now how I was saying, like, I feel like, oh, like maybe I didn't do enough, or maybe I don't feel like I'm moving the needle as much. But then I look back at my goals, I'm like, but everything I wanted to do in this quarter, I have done. So, you know, like when you break it down like that, you don't feel like you have to do so much every single day, but you are doing what you want to do in that quarter, in that whatever, like those few months that you're working on it. So yeah, I think that's like for me has been a really great way of kind of setting my goals.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, I love that. And because I'm launching my course right now, Alyssa Coleman, who's another person I love, because she all talks about, like, she actually calls herself the lazy entrepreneur. She's like, I'm just a lazy girl. Like, I don't want to be doing anything that's not going to let me be lazy, because that's what I love to be. And she creates these systems that, like, basically you do the exact same thing. So I used her system, and it's just like, every week for 3 months, like, you do one thing that has to do with your course, and it just becomes more manageable. And that's what I've done. And it's like, it's all about planning and prioritizing and really just like setting up those systems so that you can then just, you know, relax and do things at smaller bite-sized chunks instead of feeling so overwhelmed. And what you said about your success being what you already have, isn't that incredible? Like, when you sit down and you reflect, like, okay, what is the success that I want in life? And then you really think about it, and you're like, well, why am I doing this then? You know, like, what am I doing here? And that's how I feel. My why actually in life is time. And it's time for myself, time for family, time for friends, time for everyone. Because like you said, I got to this place where I was like, why don't I have time to see, like, why do I see my grandparents every 2 months? Like, why do I not have time to go see my mom during the evenings? Like, why? Like, why Monday to Friday are Monday to Fridays write-offs? Like, why can't I go see my mom? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it seems like when I get to this point, I can do that. I'll be free to do that. But it's like, why can't we make that time now? Right?
Yeah. Yeah. And when you just, like, you know, when you break it down, it's like, you know, how can I actually get there and what can I actually do? And it's, you realize that things are way more manageable. They're not this like fantasy life that you think you'll never get, right? Like, it's just, it's so easy, and like, you will get there. You just need to be committed to doing it.
Yeah. And it makes it more realistic, because then it's like, you know, like, I could be like, oh, I want to do all of these things and I need to work day and night to get there. But it's just like, you're going to be so burned out. Like, it's just not realistic to be able to work like that. And that doesn't mean just, you know, like, go and do whatever you want and don't schedule your time. But that's where time blocking, like you were saying, like, set that time aside. Like, this is what I'm working on my business. This is what I'm doing, whatever, spending time with my family. But then you can maximize that time, because you know, like, okay, I have this hour. Timers are great. I put an alarm on for everything. So I actually hate my alarm now, because I just hear it so much. But you know, like, time blocking and making sure. And sometimes, like, there have been days where I would be like, for example, if I want to write something, like, I'm still working on my blog, and I've said this for like a month, so I'm sorry, guys, but or longer than a month, but writing isn't something that comes naturally to me. So sometimes I'll sit there and I'll be like, hey, I'm going to write, but nothing really comes up. But even if I don't feel like I got a piece of content out of that, it's still working my brain in a way that I'm like, okay, I'm thinking about writing. I'm trying to do it. So tomorrow when I sit down, I'm not starting from scratch. Your brain starts getting used to working in that way, right? So it's okay. Like, even if you feel like you didn't get something done, you're still working towards your goal. Mm-hmm. Like, don't be so hard.
Yeah. And I actually, when I first got into the digital space, people kept saying like the word copy. And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, what do you mean copy paste? And I'm like, I have no idea. What is a copy, you know? And they're like, I'm a copy editor.
Like, yeah, sure.
Yeah. They're like, I'm a copy editor. And I was like, what does that mean? Like, what do you do?
Yeah,
you
know? Like a BA. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah. Right. There's all these terms you have to learn, but you know what? One of the hacks I actually did for my blog is I type it out as if I'm speaking it, like as if I'm just telling my friend what it is. And I write it out that way. And I don't worry about the copy side of things, because, like, I don't have time for that, A, but B, like, I'll get there eventually. Like, I'll be able to hire someone to do my copy. But for now, I just need the content out there. I want to share with people. And in this new movement with social media and digital platforms about being more authentic, right? Being more yourself, having less copy, having less things kind of just become pretty. totally right up my alley, because I'm, you know, I like things just free flowing. I like things not planned. I like things just like organically just kind of evolve. Another hack that I actually use is talking into my phone or something, and then transcribing that into a blog post. And then you just go in and you do the edits and it's just done. Like, you don't need to get all the right words. It is what it is, because it's too long for me to go in and start editing and typing it out, you know? So I do these little things to like save myself time, but also because I also like to be lazy too.
I'm going to try that, because that's actually true, because you want to be able to write the way that you would talk, right? So that's actually, I'm going to try the, just even like Word, like, can you do that on Word? Just like
and then also,
sorry, you go.
No, I was just saying, yeah, you can do it on Word.
Okay, perfect. And then like you were saying, you just like voice record. I'll do that a lot now, because a lot of times when I come up with any idea, when I'm just like thinking, I'm like, oh, this is what I want to say. I'll be driving and then I can't write it down. So then I'll just use my voice memo on my phone and just record what I'm saying, so I can always refer back. So if I want like a caption for my Instagram post or something, I have a bunch of like just lists of things of like random thoughts I've had.
I just try to make things easier for like, you know, and that's the thing I think we're both trying to get at, is that like, you don't have to do everything the way everybody else in the digital space is doing it. Like, do it the way that works for you and with your lifestyle. And for me, like you were saying about being a chronic pain survivor, or someone that lives with chronic pain, or however you want to describe it, but you know your limitations. You're like, hey, I need to take care of myself here. Like, I can't push myself so far. And I feel the same in the sense of being a mom. Like, I have other responsibilities. Like, I still have a full-time job. Like, I still want to spend time with my daughter and my husband. So when I look at other entrepreneurs online, doing so much in a day, you know, I don't know why, but like some people I've seen, like they like write out their whole day, like in the morning story. And it's like, I get it, maybe to keep you accountable, but like for somebody like me, I'm like, that makes me feel like it can be stressful for me, because I'm like, wow, you're doing so much in a day. And like, I'm only getting through two things. But what I had to do is kind of like you said, like reflect on that and be like, you know, yes, I could get that much done too if I didn't have a full-time job, if this was my full-time job, if I was, you know, basically if I was single, like I didn't have a kid or my husband worked out of the house or, you know, whatever, but because time is my why, it directs me. So I don't want to be doing those things because I want more time in my life. Right. And I want more time to do what I love. And I'm very conscious of when things are taking up my time, it has to be worth it. It has to be worth the energy, right?
Yeah. So I was just going to say, like, even just talking about your why and just knowing your why for, to make sure that you're saying yes to the right things and saying no to the right things, right? Yeah. So like when, for example, for me, because I have been in the hair industry for such a long time, I can see the difference in myself. Like when I first started, I didn't want to say no to anything, even if I knew that wasn't the right thing for the client, because you don't have the confidence to say no. You're kind of just like, you want to just make everyone happy. You just want to give them what they want. But now, especially with Soul, and like you said, you're working full time, like I still work as well. And, you know, it's really knowing what is the purpose of my business. Like for me, I want to save women time. And I've had people ask me like, will you do bridal? And I have a lookbook with 8 different looks. And if you want something from that, 100%, I would love to do that. But I'm not going to necessarily be taking, here's an image of like this extravagant updo, and I want you to come do it, because I know that's a completely different service, right? Like I'd be charging a different price for that, but that's not the service I want to provide. So there's somebody for that. And then there's somebody, and then there's Soul for the everyday woman that wants to look good throughout her day, you know? So I think also knowing what your purpose is for yourself, and then what your purpose is for your business. And then that way you can say yes to the right things and save yourself time from something that maybe it would make me money right now. I'd be like, you know, if somebody wants to, I know weddings, I hope it's not a thing, but for instance, like if somebody wanted to book for a bridal hairstyling, yes, it would make me money right now, but I'm not setting myself up for, this is the vision that I have, right? Mm-hmm. So super important to kind of like know what you want to offer and be confident enough to say no to the things that that you don't, that don't align with that vision.
Yeah, I appreciate that so much because, I mean, both of us from Surrey, so we know the wedding industry in Surrey, which I hope after COVID stays small because it was ridiculous. I mean, maybe for you, maybe you're like, no, I need to be bigger.
No, I'm not a big, like, big weddings girl. I'm like, I'll go to Cora. We could get married there. Yeah. I'm good. But, I mean, I love my family. I want them to be at the Cora.
Yeah. Well, I actually feel like there's just so many makeup artists and hairstylists that are just like popping up out of nowhere. And it's just like, and like you said, like you should be able to say no to what doesn't, what you don't, what you think is not aligned with you and what you can do. And I think that like what you're saying about like making clients feel happy and being like, I can help you by doing this, but I'm not going to be doing something that is not aligned with what I want to be doing. You know, I think it's key because there's been a couple times where like I've had to hire like a hairstylist or a makeup artist to come to my house. And like, I've asked them, you know, can you do this? And they've said, yeah, sure. And then they show up and it's just like not in their wheelhouse, which is fine. Like, it's okay if that's not your style, that's not in your wheelhouse, but just say no instead of trying to, you know, make the money. And like, for example, my sister's engagement, I have to tell you this, because you're going to be like mortified. But one of my sisters, at my sister's engagement, I had hired this lady and she was a makeup artist, which, you know, she didn't, her makeup was not bad, but she said she does hair too, but she outsources it, the hair part. And the girl that she works with in a team was busy that day. So she said, oh, I'm going to get somebody else. And I was like, okay, well, let me know if you can't, because I will find someone else. It's okay. But she's like, no, I got someone, don't worry about it. And that somebody is actually her mom, who was just visiting from out of country at the time. And so her mom has no experience with hair extensions. And I had asked for hair. I had my own hair extensions. So I said, like, can you put them on? So I'm not even kidding you, but she put them like at the base of my neck right here. And they're like so long. So like you could see like my hair was like this. And then the extensions, like it was a significant, sorry?
Did they slip out?
Oh no, I took, there were clip-ins. So I took them out because like, it was like, it was at the base of my neck. Like my, it was not like faded nicely into my hair to like make it look a part of my hair. Like there, it was a very evident, like this is an extension, then this is your hair. Do you know what I mean? Like it was very clear.
Yeah.
It was very clear. So when you say that, I'm like, yeah, like you could have just said no, you know, it's okay. And so I think that like, it, like you said, like it's so clear and it's so important that like whatever we do, both like in our careers and in our life and in our business, that we stay true to what we're here to do and not just try to do it all if it's not aligned with who we are. And especially in the digital world, I've noticed that a lot, that like there's so much, and if it's not authentic, then it's going to show. And you know, at the end of the day, you have to figure out like what, like you said, like what is the purpose of my business? Like, what am I actually here to do? And like, what am I trying to do? Yeah. So I really, really appreciate what you're sharing, because it's key. It's both key in who, like how you started your business, who you are, how you've pivoted, in the life challenges that you've experienced so far, and how you're actually creating this new life and this new business for yourself that's aligned with you and who you are. And I think that's incredible. So thank you for sharing.
Of course. Yeah. I think like, you know, and there are so many people that want to start businesses, and it's obviously like, I haven't even gone into the thick of it, you know, and already there's, you know, like it's a roller coaster ride, but you know, for me, it's something that just makes me happy. Like it's, like I said, it's always been a part of me. I've always loved hairstyling, and it's something that like, I can't imagine a life not kind of doing something to do with it. So for me, it's just like, I just love it. It makes me so happy. And so if there is somebody out there that wants to do something, whether you want it to be big, whether you want to be small, something on the side, whatever it is, if it's something that makes you happy, like it's nice to have something that's yours that you can create and have it be representative of what you believe in and your values and all of that kind of stuff. So it's really cool. Like it's really just like creating your own little thing, right? Yeah. It's so crazy. It's so fun.
Yeah, I agree. I actually was telling my husband this morning, I was like, I just want to set up businesses and then like give them someone else to run. I just want to set them up. Like, it's just so much fun setting it up and coming up with the idea and doing it that way. And yeah, and so I've really loved everything you've had to share. For those of you listening, I will tag Harja's website and all her social media on the show notes for you to check out. She has kindly offered 20% off her services for anyone that wants to sign up. You would just use the code ANGEZA, A-N-G-E-Z-A, on her website. So if you have any questions, you can connect with her on her website or on Instagram. But I really appreciated having you here.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me on and like just sharing a part of your journey with me. And you asked so many great questions. And you know, it's great when you ask questions because it makes you reflect in that moment as well, right? So thank you so much. And thank you to everybody who's listening, and definitely take advantage of that 20% off, or just connect with me on Instagram. Like I said, I love meeting new people, and it's great. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to the end of that episode. I hope that you have learned something from that episode that can have you getting closer to a fulfilling life and career. There's so much out there in the world that you can learn, you can experience, and you can apply to your current life that will help you start making those little steps towards a career that you love and that you're inspired by. So I'm excited for you. I can't wait to hear what you're doing. I would love for you to share with me over on our social media, or you can send me an email and let me know. You can visit our website, howdidyoulearntodothat.com, for the show notes and for blog posts and to hear more about what we're up to. And of course, we would love if you could help us grow by reviewing us on Apple Podcasts as well as on YouTube and sharing with your family and your friends. All right, we'll see you next time. Bye.